And we're back with What's Ailing America. And as you heard on the IRN Newsbreak, yes, in fact, 33 years to the day of this Eaton Potts' abduction and murder, they arrested his alleged killer. If that's not a Masonic signal, I don't know what is. Okay. Let me also just mention quickly, okay, we have a caller. Let me bring the caller on and see what the caller has to say. Are you there, caller?
Hi, Dr. Carly.
Hello, Alex.
How are you?
Okay.
We're swinging away. We posted something on, I think it's about, what are we at, 38 or 40 different chemtrail awareness sites and plugged your show. And we got three responses so far, but we have other people doing it as well. So what that might do is spread the information around so more people are getting involved and listening and tuning into your show. I don't know if you see that.
I appreciate that. And as you said on the show before, you're obviously being monitored and cut off to get three responses on 40 sites is a little bit suspicious.
Yeah, especially with the volume of people in them. I mean, it's usually hundreds to thousands or in some cases over 10 to 30 to 40,000 people. So it's kind of weird, like all the different globalist and anti-globalist and New World Order sites, et cetera, that it's appropriate to flip the link around. You know, not to get one response, even a negative one, is just bizarre. We used to put it out to five different groups and get hundreds of responses. Mm-hmm. So there is how that censorship is working against us as we try to get the majority to wake up to what's going on, you know?
Well, I appreciate your efforts, and all we can do is continue on and hope that the censorship itself is going to wake up people. Because, you know, what's going on with the censorship? If I'm wacko and delusional, then what are they afraid of? People should, you know, be able to not check out the information for themselves and find out that it's not true.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Well, when we started the post last night, what happened was, like what happened with Byron Pryor, the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, which are the feds up here, like the FBI down there, they told him, because he's under a gag order, that if you continue to post, we'll slow your computer right down until it doesn't work at all. And so I was typing comments in a thing with what looked like black jellyfish dribbling out of a horrible chemtrail sunset. And was posting health effects and advertising a worldwide artist's chemtrail and HAARP awareness show, which we're going to put online, and artists are encouraged to sort of make renditions of HAARP and chemtrails, and in any medium they like, and they get the proceeds, but are encouraged to use those proceeds or some of them to go to making T-shirts and banners, posters, bumper stickers, info packages, DVDs, etc., to raise awareness with the compartmentalized and brainwashed, mind-controlled people that don't get what's going on. And it slowed down.
Alex, let me just comment. I think that's an ingenious idea. We have to use any technique we can, including even sometimes humor, to try to get through the mind control. But it just hit me. We'll see how fast that those artists' renditions are censored. You know, it's okay to have a painting of Jesus Christ and put feces on it. You know, that's not censored. But we'll see how fast this kind of artwork is censored or cause terrorist, renditions or something of that nature.
Yeah, and you can post pictures of mutilated cadavers, or even have shows in museums of mutilated and bisected, vivisected, whatever cadavers, people with no skin on them that are coated in some kind of preservative and displayed for everybody to see, yet you can't tell the truth in this crazy world that is being run by the lunatics. And it's going to happen. We're expecting that. But we can also move to the side of the road with a little stand and sell them from there if it doesn't work online. And I fully expected that. It was actually more of a promotional thing to raise awareness and to get other people trying to think outside the box and get off from behind the computer and get out and do stuff.
Right.
It's really necessary at this point because they're just neutering our efforts online. And, you know,
well,
my dad's
I just want to say I encourage people to do all of the above. You know, we have to do everything we can in order to get the word out there. And when you were talking about gray globs coming out of the sky, immediately I was thinking about those new magnetic bacteria. I would expect that they probably look gray. So maybe they're loaded with these magnetic bacteria that I was talking about at the top of the show, because I'm sure that that's highly involved with causing Morgellons. So, yeah, it's getting really ugly, people, and you really have to wake up and do something. Go ahead.
Yeah, the stuff that precipitates out of these aerosol dispersions is it leaves a glossy, slippery film on your skin that you can't get rid of no matter what you wash with unless you have something like neem shampoo. That seems to have gotten rid of it in the past, but if you can't get rid of it, like we ran out of that, and I can't find it. I went around to health stores yesterday and I couldn't find any. And UMAC was off the shelves as well, which was another topic we could cover. But when you go to wash this stuff off, if you use neem, it seems to take the film, the slime, off your head. And what's weird is like on our apples outside, when we tried to wash those clean and then preserve them for the winter, this stuff, if you do reduce the population of slime on your skin surface, it recurs, it multiplies again and again. And so too do these bacteriological symptoms. And we've been using colloidal silver to mitigate those, but there's definite evidence that they're using some form of electromagnetic or psychotronic resonant frequency to multiply the bacteriological agents, particularly in targeted individuals like reporters, investigative reporters, activists, dissidents, whistleblowers, and otherwise targeted individuals. My dad's a political journalist. And last Sunday, his article was critical of the harsh right-wing government up here in Canada after a UN reporter came here and criticized Canadian government because in a land of plenty, we have families with children under the age of 6 which aren't able to feed their kids. They don't have enough money to survive. And he said it was obscene and completely inappropriate that we ship out most of our gross domestic product rather than sharing it with our people here. So my dad said as he wrote every word of that article, he became more and more sick. And he's a prominent Canadian political journalist who worked on Parliament Hill for quite some time, decades. He's been a reporter since I was alive, 47 years ago, I was born. And just for him to acknowledge electromagnetic attack was very significant. I called him back after reading the article, and he said, yes, like I said, every word I typed, I got more and more ill. So he compared poverty in Canada to a tapeworm in the great Canadian gut with reference to the biological elements and electromagnetic warfare and how they're trying to silence us. That's him being brave and fighting back in his own way. He's being defiant.
Well, that's good. Hopefully it's getting people's attention.
Well, we hope so. We've got three generations of the same family. We're the only surviving male hunters, and we are basically trying to do what we can. But he's 75, and with his symptoms, like I talked to him Friday and then Sunday and then Monday, and it was really bad. It seemed to hit him really hard and was going into the lungs. And, you know, it wouldn't take much for them to rub a guy like that out. So there's very little he can say, but it really gives you a strong indication of how they control the completely controlled media. It's not just through, you know, the chance of being fired or blacklisted, but, you know, through other means. And they certainly are censoring everything of any significance. So it's happening.
Right, and from what you told me, he's actually an editor with that paper, so it's not like they can edit him because he's an editor. So instead, they're using different types of health attacks.
No, he writes editorial. He retired from. He was night editor of the Ottawa Citizen, which is Canada's capital city is Ottawa. So he was the editor of that newspaper for the night editor for quite some time. And the way they control journalists is that if a journalist dares to go out and spend their own time investigating something and that they're passionate about and go to write about, they're never given the column inches or the budget to do it. But if they actually go out on their own because they're passionate and trying to make a difference, what happens is the editor, the publisher, and the legal team see to it that it doesn't hit the pages. It won't hit print. So anyway, he retired to write editorial columns in the local newspaper in Victoria, home of the Canadian Naval Base, and that's where we just moved away from because the air was just so thick. It was just we were sick all the time, just breathing in the stuff, whether we're being attacked or not. And I guess it's part of Agenda 21. They're going to move us away from the coast one way or the other, aren't they? You know, we're not. We're not winning here, and we need people like you, people should be supporting you. They should be doing everything. I'm really glad to hear Werner sent you a significant donation, and once we start to earn money or something good happens, if somebody gives us some or they donate to us, we'll send you a percentage of it, and we'll definitely be in your corner because you're about the best person I've ever heard on the radio. Well, you are.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Edible food plant.
And we're back with What's Ailing America. We have Alex Hunter in the line from Canada. Go ahead and finish up, Alex. We have another caller on the line as well.
Good. Well, yep, just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm not eating shrimp anymore. there's no way to, you know, that's it for that. I don't even know about that Pacific phytoplankton I was taking anymore, but the fact the person in the healthcare store said there was a dramatic decrease in sales. And I said, well, they just took a huge company took it over. I think what they're doing is the military is getting it direct now, so it's no longer something I would promote without taking it myself first and seeing what happens. And so I'm going to go and find a bottle of it and try it to see what happens. And if it makes me feel as good as it used to, I would still promote it. But I'm kind of thinking they probably have a certain lot number on it now, and they've got one brand for the military minions, and then they've got one for us. And they'll probably kill those military minions off once they're finished using them to get rid of us. So, you know.
Well,
anyway, keep doing what you're doing.
Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a technique called muscle testing, and I don't have time to explain that whole thing now, but if you don't know about that, I can explain it to you off the air. But in my opinion, that's the best way to figure out if something's good for you. Basically, you bring it into your energy field and see if it makes you stronger or not. That's one thing you could do to test it. But common sense tells you that anything that comes out of the ocean, especially the Pacific Ocean, is going to be full of radiation. They're talking now about this massive, I forget how many tons of debris from Japan has now landed ashore in Alaska, and of course they're discussing this, how are they going to clean it up, where they're going to get the money, blah blah blah. Well, what else is coming in? As we know, radiation in the air and the water, no mention of that. So I wouldn't eat anything that comes out of the Pacific Ocean for sure, because it's got to be glowing.
Yeah, that's right. We've got to disarm these parasitic psychopaths from perpetrating this from the highest levels. We have to arrest them and process them for their myriad of crimes, and they're the biggest criminals on earth. So it's kind of obvious what needs to happen, and that's what we got to do. And people better get their minds wrapped around that, or we're cooked if we're not already.
Exactly.
So yeah, okay. Well, take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks for calling, Alex. Okay, we have a caller from 806. Are you there, caller?
Yes, Dr. Carley, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Go ahead.
I was in, okay, psychopaths is so true, and I think we are cooked in part anyway. Thank you so much, by the way. I've never talked to you in person. Love your information. I have a question. If you could, I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but someone in your chat room on Orion. Several are from Canada and would like to get in touch with Alex Hunter. Do you know of a blog site for him?
Okay. Well, hello? I don't have permission. Yeah, I don't have permission to give out any of his personal contact info. If he's listening, okay. If he can call back in and let people know. I do know he has a YouTube that's Joker Tattoo, but I don't know.
Joker Tattoo?
Joker Tattoo.
Okay, well, that'll... Joker Tattoo. Thank you so very much, and I'll get off. I just had that question, and thanks for your information. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And if he's listening, Alex, please call back in and give out any contact information that you want to give out. Okay, in terms of the psychopaths, I suggest all of you, because the psychopaths have been identified very well, in my opinion. If you go to any search engine, you can put in the title, The Eternal Jew. And this is a documentary from many years ago. And listen to that documentary, watch that documentary. They are the bloodline psychopaths. There's no question about it. And it's really amazing. There's an article in the paper, Charlotte Observer, today about this pastor in Maiden, North Carolina. And he's just right up the road from me. And he said in a sermon that gay people should be basically put in a inside a great big large fence that should be electrified so they can't get out. And of course, there's a massive, you know, outcry about him making this ridiculous statement. And tomorrow they're supposed to have a protest. They're expecting 1,500 people here in where I live in Catawba County to basically, you know, speak out against this man. And it's pretty amazing that they're going to protest this man saying this abominable statement. So the question I would ask if I were going to go there is, how come he's not talking about putting the Jewish psychopaths in an area? As a matter of fact, if you watch that documentary, The Eternal Jew, you will find the truth about the Jewish people, why they've moved around from continent to continent, because according to their own holy books, especially the Talmud, basically they're supposed to lie, cheat, steal, and, you know, rob and murder the goy. That's what they're supposed to do. And as they've done that all over the world throughout time, they've been kicked out of one country and moved to another. So I really suggest that you check that out and see for yourself. As I said, I don't remember what year this was done, but it was back when, you know, filmmaking just started. And it really gives some excellent history on the Rothschilds and all the rest of them. And it's very important for them, for people to see this information so that they will know what's really going on and who the parasites actually are. In fact, I also want to recommend to you another excellent Deanna Spingola interview. She's now doing interviews actually on Sundays. It's amazing to me how she does these things. She has shows Monday through Friday in RBN, but she has so many contacts with excellent interviewees that she's now doing interviews on Sunday as well, called Spingola Specials, and putting them on her website. And she did an interview on May 20th with Zion Crime Factory, who I'm hoping to work it out where I can get him on my show eventually as well. His website is Zion Crime Factory, I think it's .com. And in that show, they talked about a bill which are criminals in the District of Criminals, the traitors actually signed, which have made it official that we have a Zionist-occupied government, that they have actually agreed to be, quote-unquote, friends with Israel, whatever that means. I haven't had a chance to look at the bill and see what it actually says, but apparently it was signed by pretty much all of the traitors. And as we know, the reason Cynthia McKinney was actually kicked out of Congress when she was kicked out was because she refused to do something along those lines as well. So that's what's going on, folks. These criminals, and of course we've heard it announced on mainstream media that Mitt Romney has been friends with Netanyahu for 30 years. So if that's not a scary sign, I don't know what is. So as I said, I strongly suggest that you check out Spingola specials from May 20th and listen to that interview with Zion Crime Factory. What on earth is our Congress doing, basically stating that, you know, they're going to be told what to do by the Zionists and making it official? This is treason. Because as you'll see from the documentary, The Eternal Jews, these people are the psychopathic parasites, and that's what people have to get off and realize. Okay, I'm just getting a message from Alex. He can't call back in because he has no service. So during the break, I'll try to contact him and see if he can give a contact number. Okay. Next thing I want to discuss with you. One of my clients actually wrote to Kraft Foods in regards to them being affiliated with Sinomics, from whom they purchased aborted fetuses to use as food flavoring, pretty much telling them that he was totally disgusted, and what did they have to say for, you know, their actions doing this. And the minion, Kim McMiller, Associate Director, Consumer Relations for Kraft, writes him back and says, "Hi, Billy." Isn't it amazing how they use those terms of endearment? Not only is she calling him by his first name, she's calling him Billy. He's like a 50-year-old man. "Hi, Billy. Thank you for taking the time to contact Kraft Foods. We understand and appreciate your concerns regarding Kraft and its affiliation with Sinomics. Our highest priority is the safety and quality of our products and the safety of our consumers. All of the flavors we use are approved and deemed safe for food use by regulatory agencies, including the FDA. Our collaboration with Sinomics came to an end on December 27th. However, our research, development, and quality team continues innovating using insights and technology to delight our consumers. Thank you again for taking the time to share your thoughts." Now, let's take this apart here. She understands and appreciates his concerns and tells them that their collaboration with Sinomics came to an end on December 27th. Well, why did their collaboration with Sinomics come to an end on December 27th? Apparently, because lots of people saw that YouTube video, "Can a Baby," by Anthony Hildegard, and were outraged, and I'm sure many others have written to Kraft as well. So, allegedly, they have cut off their collaboration with Sinomics. But for this minion to say that all of the flavors they use are approved and deemed safe for food use by regulatory agencies, including the FDA. Well, isn't that special? The FDA has approved the drugs that are killing 100,000 people a year and are allowing the inoculation of diseases and the creation of all diseases in internal medicine to continue. So if that's supposed to be reassuring, you know, I think that's a little bizarre. Okay, let me get to my next story. This is another article in the Charlotte Observer from Wednesday, May 16th, 2012, on page 1A. In other words, the front, headline on the front page of the paper. U.S. plan aims to halt Alzheimer's by 2025. Health officials unveil a strategy to prevent and reverse the disease. And this is coming from Dr. Francis Collins, who is the head of the NIH and who was highly involved in unraveling and figuring out our DNA, obviously, so that they could corrupt our DNA, which they've been doing with vaccinations, GMO food, and other things. But what are they talking about? What do they want to do to allegedly help decrease Alzheimer's? They're going to have a trial to explore whether an inhaled form of insulin will slow progression of the disease. I mean, how do they even come up with this stuff? That's what I'd like to know. As I've said many times on the show, Alzheimer's is due to aluminum and mercury. The mercury destroys the brain cells. The aluminum deposits in the brain. And, of course, mycoplasma especially also helps to form this plaque that surrounds the dead nerve cells. And that's how you get those findings that you do find, microscopic findings on biopsies from Alzheimer's patients. But, you know, instead of decreasing our exposure to mercury in vaccines, water, fish, et cetera, you know, amalgam fillings, instead of decreasing our exposure to aluminum in aluminum foil, pots and pans, vaccines once again, all the other ways we're exposed to aluminum, they're going to start doing trials using inhaled insulin. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And the $100 million study will run for 5 years, but results may indicate in as little as 2 years whether the drug is helping to delay memory decline. So if they're predicting that in 2 years it's going to show that the drug is helping to decrease a memory decline, obviously they've already got it all planned up. It's already on that fast track that hasn't quite been approved yet, and they're going to come up with this excuse for people to inhale insulin. So what's that going to do? As I talked about at the beginning of the show, that is giving the body a endocrine hormone from the outside. It causes a negative feedback on the pancreas or whatever organ of target, you know, the synthetic thyroid hormone on the thyroid gland, birth control pills on the ovaries and such. It's going to shut off insulin production in the people with Alzheimer's. And then they're actually going to get insulin, and that's going to help them die faster. So this is what we're looking forward to. And this national strategy comes in response to the National Alzheimer's Project Act, signed into law in January 2011. And as I said, they know the cause of Alzheimer's disease because I figured it out when I went to medical school in the early 80s from seeing sections of brain from people with Alzheimer's disease. They had dead nerve cells. They had aluminum showing up in their brains. And later on, of course, is when I learned about mercury killing the dead nerve, making the nerve cells dead. But in fact, they know what Alzheimer's is caused by. But, you know, they want to have an excuse to give more money to the NIH and Big Pharma to come up with their drugs in order to make things worse, because that's what they always do. And they also say here, the last paragraph of this article, caring for those with dementia in the U.S. will cost an estimated $200 billion annually, and the Alzheimer's Association has estimated that figure could rise to $1 trillion by 2050 if no cure is found. And this is how it always works, folks. They're looking for the cure, but they're running away from the cause, just as with all the other diseases, because this is the plan. So that's pretty amazing as well. Okay, next article I have here is an excellent article from VacTruth.com, written by Christina England, just came out yesterday. New vaccine made from dog cells may trigger allergies to dogs. Now, when you see information like this, this is how you know for sure that they're doing things on purpose to hurt people. And in fact, it's a new single mumps vaccine cultured on canine kidney cells has been slipped into private clinics through the back door. It's very similar to a vaccine called Pavivac, a single mumps vaccine that was rejected by the CSM, which is the UK's version of the FDA, because of the unknown infections it may cause. In fact, Christina England says she would go as far as to say that it may well be Pavivac with a brand new identity. And so, well, first of all, what's this going to do? Well, you have to realize that all allergies are caused by vaccines to begin with. So if you have a vaccine virus that's grown on dog cells, no matter where they're from in the dog, the kidney in this case, you're going to be injected with dog DNA. And what's that going to do? Not only is it going to corrupt your very genetic structure, introducing dog DNA into your DNA, but your body's also going to see those cells as foreign, and you're going to develop a rejection phenomena. I call it like a microscopic rejection, because it's the same thing that happens if you get a kidney transplant from somebody that's not your identical twin. your body's going to see that as foreign, develop antibodies to destroy the kidney cell or the kidney itself, the kidney organ, and that's what causes them to have to go in and take out dead transplanted kidneys. And that's why they give anti-rejection drugs to people that get transplants, because almost never can you get a donor from an identical twin. So, in fact, this is obvious to me that they're actually going to create allergies to dogs, because as you get this dog kidney injected into you, there's no way to separate the tissue culture from the viruses itself. So you're going to develop an antibody to the dog cells, and you're going to then become allergic to dogs, besides having your DNA corruption. So they're actually producing dog allergies by this technique. And of course, that's pretty disturbing, because, you know, people have dogs, they love dogs. That's one of the few things that we now hope, you know, have in our lives that actually can give us joy, is getting the unconditional love from a pet. So they're going to make it, you know, a situation where you can't have a dog because you're going to be allergic to the dog. And I'm sure this is going to cause a massive giving of dogs to shelters for them to be killed. And then they can take the killed dogs and make more vaccines. So, you know, basically it's the same as promoting abortion. You know, they use aborted fetal cells to make vaccines as well. So it accomplishes many purposes. Not only does it help their depopulation agenda, but it also gives them more tissues to use to make more vaccines. So this is really sick. And the idea, I mean, who would even come up with this idea of using dead dogs to make vaccines? And that also brings to mind all the different places where they do put dogs down, which is, you know, a nice way to talk about the killing of dogs. You know, what do they use those dogs for? Well, when I was in Long Island, I actually did a lecture with a veterinarian that had a conscience. And one of the things I learned from that veterinarian is that they use dead dogs to use to make dog food. It doesn't matter what the dog died of. If the dog died of cancer and they injected the dogs with whatever doggy drug they're using to kill the dogs, you're going to have cancer and the drug in the dead dog. But that doesn't mean they're not going to sell that dog to a dog food company and make dog food out of it, which is really sick. So what I always tell people, actually, many years ago, before I knew better, I did have a much-loved dog that I had to put down. She was over 18 years old and could not even stand up anymore. And I had to put her down because she was suffering. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I ended up getting her cremated, which I very much regret at this point, because I now realize that they probably don't cremate the dog. They charge you to cremate the dog, and then they give you the little urn, which probably has rocks in it, because you're never going to open it up, of course, and then they probably sell your dead dog to a dog food company. So just another thing you have to be aware of, very disturbing. And I saw an article recently in my local paper. There's now a veterinarian in my area that advertises a hospice for dogs. And what does that mean? All she does is drive around in her van, and she'll go to your house and kill your dog for you. And she calls that hospice care. So that's kind of revealing, because, of course, we know that's what they do in hospices, is they kill the people, you know, to get them off the dole as fast as possible. They don't, you know, announce it like they do with the dogs. You know, of course, they give them morphine to make them stop breathing and drug cocktails and other things of that nature, so they'll die as fast as possible. But when it comes to the dogs, this veterinarian actually admits that that's what she's going to do. She'll come to your house and kill your dog for you. I guess it's probably nicer for the dog to get the injection at home instead of having to go to the vet place to get it. But, you know, I just can't even imagine having a job like that, where I drive around to kill dogs. But I guess, you know, some people will do anything for cash. Okay, I have another article here from my local Charlotte Observer, Monday, April 30th, on page 3A. study, type 2 diabetes is harder to treat in youth. The disease progresses faster in kids and is more difficult to control. So they're talking about how before the 1990s, this form of diabetes, which is insulin-resistant diabetes, as opposed to a type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent, where you're actually allergic to insulin or allergic to your pancreas cells. This is from vaccines, and you're not able to produce insulin, and these are the people that are given insulin. But type 2 diabetes...
Have you been...
And we're back with What's in America. As I said before, I can't even hear the music at the break, so let me just say once again that this article I was talking about talks about giving the children, mostly from poor families with type 2 diabetes, in this study, they're giving them insulin now. So they're going to create customers for life. So this is the plan, people. You just have to realize that everything they're doing for the diseases they're creating in the first place is actually making the disease worse. Everything they're doing. And if this doesn't upset you, I don't know what will. Okay, Alex has called back in to give his contact information. I'm glad you were able to get through, Alex. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so my contact information is as follows. I'm Joker Tattoo on YouTube. It's J-O-K-E-R-T-A-T-T-O-O-O. There's three O's on the end of it because the one with two was taken. I'm Alex Hunter on Facebook, and I run the CCWW, ACWW, World War III Global Domination and Population Agenda Advisory Forum on Facebook. So, again, that's CCWW, ACWW, World War III Global Domination.
Wait, you got to go slow if people are sitting there trying to write this down. Go very slow, please.
Okay. Right.
Go ahead.
It's spelled CCWW / ACWW. World War III, WWIII, comma, Global Domination and Population Reduction Agenda Advisory, which is a forum I run on Facebook. And my phone number is 250-813-2150. My email is a100hunter, A100HUNTER, at gmail.com. And anyone that's trying to get a hold of me through any of these things has to try repetitively and keep doing it until you get through. So that's how to do it.
Okay, very good. And you're in Canada, yeah. So anybody that's calling from the U.S., what would be the first number before your number that they would call?
It's still just one. Yeah, you just dial 1 and then 250. So you just dial 1 in the area code and then 250. We don't use the country code in North America.
Okay. Okay, very good. Yeah. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to say? Okay.
Well, yeah, no, I'll just let you carry on with the show. You wrap it up. And... Thanks.
Okie doke. Thank you, Alex. And, yes, Alex and his two... I don't even like to call them children. His young warriors, Aiden and Abby, are getting the best education you could get from their father because they accompany him as he goes to these various places where he's trying to, you know, get people to wake up. And as he's talked about on the show before, one of the most frustrating places he goes is the Occupy groups that are, you know, coming together in different places, and he's the one that came up with the idea about occupying the Occupy movements because, you know, just like, as I said, the people here in the state where I live, they're getting all upset about this this pastor who's talking about, you know, basically caging homosexuals, which goes to show what kind of a quote-unquote Christian he really is. You know, basically, why are you talking about caging anybody? But as I said, if you're going to cage somebody, why don't you cage the psychopaths causing all the problems? But what we've had instead is the development of this idea of the Christian Zionists. And I oftentimes wonder, how does that work? How did the Christians become so affiliated with the psychopaths that now they're basically, you know, considered one and the same, separated by a hyphen. And in fact, almost all the churches here in North Carolina where I live, they have the word Zion in their title. And of course, they raise money for Israel and all this other crap. It's just unbelievable. But that's what we're dealing with. And even though it's very politically incorrect to talk about the psychopaths, in fact, it's called a hate crime. And as Zion Crime Factory said on Deanna Spingola's show, as I said on her Spingola specials, he was talking about the fact, and this is self-evident, that you can talk about anybody else. You know, the police in New York are going after the Muslims and targeting them and racially profiling them and all this crap for, you know, 9/11, which was basically carried out by the Mossad in the U.S. in the first place. You can talk about any other group, and it doesn't become a hate crime. But if you talk about the Jews, well, then you're anti-Semitic, and there are some places where actually that becomes a criminal offense. So, of course, they have to protect themselves from exposure by making it a crime to reveal their crimes. And that's how it works here on Opposite Day Planet. And we have to speak the truth no matter what it costs, and that's the only way we're ever going to change things. Okay, the last subject I want to get into, which I did mention on a previous show, but only a little bit because I was running out of time, is what's going on with these Olympics in the UK that are supposed to be starting in July. And it's all over the news in the UK, Mail Online, The Telegraph. Let's see. Those are the main purveyors of garbage. Basically, what they're telling people is that the UK is at extreme risk of a flu pandemic, as millions of foreign visitors are expected for the Olympics. And in fact, what they're stating is that Britain is ranked second only to Singapore for its vulnerability to the rapid spread of an influenza outbreak. And of course, if everybody drank colloidal silver, there would be no problem whatsoever. But they're talking about the fact that they're expecting an extra 5.3 million foreign tourists, many from countries where any pandemic is likely to emerge, to visit Britain for the Games. And I love these little statements they make, where any pandemic is likely to emerge. Well, I guess the U.S. would be top of that list because we have 1,300 biowarfare labs here. So, you know, those are where the emerging viruses are emerging from, is the biowarfare labs. They're also, of course, stating that people need to worry about becoming exposed to measles, and they have to, therefore, you know, people that are, let's see, advice from U.S. health officials that Americans should get vaccinated against measles before visiting London this summer. You know, it follows from the flu pandemic disinfo that the people should also get vaccinated against measles. Now, whenever they say get vaccinated against something, substitute the word with. They want them to get vaccinated with measles. They want them to be vaccinated with influenza. And, you know, that's because those vaccines give you the actual diseases. Okay. And then they go on with more disinfo about the alleged swine flu outbreak. They're saying actually in this article, between 2009 and 10, it claimed 457 lives in the UK. There's 100,000 people dying in the United States every year from drugs approved by the FDA. 100,000 versus 457. Isn't it amazing that they try to get us all riled up? I mean, and that's 457 alleged deaths. Did they do DNA on every person that died to see if their flu bug was H1N1? And if it was, did they get the vaccine? You see, those are the hard questions I would ask. Okay, then we have another article from The Telegraph. In January of 2012, hundreds of frontline health workers are vaccinated against, i.e. with, smallpox. More than 500 health workers have been vaccinated against smallpox, i.e. with smallpox, enabling them to deal with a biological terror attack at this year's Olympics. Now, they say further in the article that smallpox was declared eradicated in 1980. So why are they vaccinating people with smallpox, one would wonder? And the answer to that is obviously because samples of smallpox were kept by both the U.S. and Russia, and so that's why a biological attack would be possible, because they've kept this stuff around even after smallpox was allegedly eradicated. And now they're going to bring smallpox back by vaccinating hundreds of frontline health workers with smallpox. And that's, you know, pretty insane, but that's what they're doing. The immunized medical staff includes 147 doctors, 164 nurses, 100 paramedics, and 32 scientists who have been divided up into a series of smallpox management and response teams. Isn't that amazing? They're coming up with response teams to a infection which was supposed to have been eliminated back in 1980. I mean, people should be really asking themselves some hard questions about that. It's pretty amazing. And then the last thing I'll mention is another article here from, Christina England wrote this on May 7th. It's on VacTruth.com. Olympic vaccination frenzy as athletes are urged to get their shots. And so we're going to have athletes dropping dead as well. I'm sure they'll blame it on the fact that they're dehydrated or whatever the case may be. But they're also encouraging the athletes to get vaccinated. And as Christina England reports in this excellent article, athletes are being encouraged to get their shots, but what they may not know is that Big Pharma is a major sponsor of the Olympics. You can't make this stuff up. How can you have a pharma company be a sponsor of the Olympics and then promote the selling of a drug that's going to make them even richer?
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
How frustrated do you get, dude, when you try to tell somebody something and they say, well, I want to see the evidence? And you go, oh, okay, go to this website. You can see all the links there. Print it out.